This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Well, and warm welcome along to another edition of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. It's Warren Asher standing in for Jack Reeve this week, but as ever, the main man, Mark Langdon, is with us once again. Plenty to get through, Mark, before we look ahead to the weekend's action and your betting tips for the weekend ahead. Let's reflect firstly on what happened in the Champions League in midweek. Big win for Chelsea, not only in terms of the scoreline, but also in terms of them qualifying from their group against AC Milan at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea thoroughly deserved it.
Yeah, they absolutely did, Warren. And like you say, it was a big win. I mean, I tipped Chelsea outright. They were one of the two selections. I was getting a bit concerned, really, about whether they'd actually sort of, get eliminated in the group stage. Thankfully, I think that they'll be okay now. Obviously, didn't start the competition particularly well. There was much more like it last night. I think there needs to be a little sort of caveat to that. Milan were missing a lot of players through injury, but, you know, you still got to, still put on that performance. And they look quite lively, I thought, going forward. And the only negative, really, was that injury to Fofana. But it was a really comfortable performance for Chelsea. Looks like, you know, I'd expect them to qualify now. And, you know, you're looking at the sort of that return game at San Siro. If Milan are still missing, a fair chunk of players, I think Chelsea really fancy their chances of doubling up and getting 6 points out of the two matches against them.
But it's two goals in two games for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Do we think he's still capable of maybe racking up 15, 20 goals in a Premier League season? Or do we think that Chelsea are relying too heavily on a player of his age?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be negative about that. Although I was lukewarm to Erling Haaland, and I've got that one right. So I think with Aubameyang, he will score a certain amount of goals. Of course, he will. He's playing up front for Chelsea. You'd expect any striker really to score, a fair amount. I'm still not entirely convinced about his hunger. He drifted around last couple of years. The fact that Arsenal gave him away, I think, says a lot about what they felt his attitude was like. At the moment, it's all positive. He scored a couple of goals, but I'm not sure he offers a huge amount off the ball anymore. And that, at the moment, isn't a problem. But I would imagine, going forward, when Chelsea are playing in the really big games, whether they might go for somebody else up front, maybe Havertz or Sterling as a centre-forward, just, somebody that can defend from the front probably more than Aubameyang can, because I don't think he got involved massively, in general play last night. He scored his goal, but I thought Chelsea was so dominant, you'd expect the striker to, have a couple of chances in that situation.
We'll discuss the other Premier League teams in the Champions League in a moment, but a quick word firstly on Celtic, who lost to what I thought was an impressive RB Leipzig side, scored some great goals along the way, could have been more as well, but for VAR decisions. Celtic second best.
Yeah, they were. That was a bit of a blow, because I want Celtic to qualify from that group. But you're absolutely right, really. Although, the game was in the balance when it was 1-1, sort of halfway through the second half. Just the balance of play and the way the match was going, you felt like Leipzig would score. I thought the second VAR goal was really harshly ruled out. I mean, anyone that's watched Joe Hart over the last 10 years knows he's getting nowhere near that. He's gets beat from outside his box quite often. Then he gave the ball away, didn't he, for the goal. Celtic need 6 points from their next two matches, but they are capable at home. I think it'd be a different story at Parkhead. The one thing I would say is that Shakhtar probably not as bad as everybody thought they'd be in that group. I thought they gave a good account of themselves away to Real Madrid and have done quite well in the group. So Celtic need 6 points, I think, from those two matches. They're capable. I'm just not sure they'll get them.
I wondered how long it was going to take us to mention Erling Haaland in today's Bets Club. You've already mentioned him once. We have to talk about him again. Another two goals as Manchester City cruise past FC Copenhagen. I have to admit, I was slightly surprised he started the game. They were able to take him off at half-time and give him a bit of a break. But it's just so impressive at the moment, the way that he's finding the back of the net with ease.
Yeah, well, he's not missing chances at the moment. I mean, he's getting those balls that are swept into the box, and he's just, he's sort of smashing them in as if they're open goals. And of course they're not. I'm sure at some stage, you know, it'll kind of slow down because, you know, that's just what all strikers eventually do. Even, you know, even Messi didn't take every chance he got, you know, when he was at his peak of his powers, or Cristiano Ronaldo. It's going brilliantly for him at the moment. Like you, I was slightly surprised that he started that game against Copenhagen, but maybe from Pep Guardiola's point of view, he just wants to keep that run going, just wants to keep him scoring. He was able, obviously, to take him off at half-time, so no damage done from a fitness point of view. I would just also shout out, you know, more from the Man United game. I know he got the hat-trick, but how good was Kevin De Bruyne in that match? I mean, I mean, look, Haaland's doing remarkably well, but I mean, your job's a lot easier when Kevin De Bruyne is putting balls in like he did for that second goal, I think it was. I mean, that was just an amazing pass. I mean, I literally don't think there's another player in the world that could have picked that pass out for him.
While we're talking about the City going forward, Mark, as well, though, we have to probably mention Jack Grealish, who has been outstanding the last couple of games against Manchester United and against Copenhagen in midweek as well. Didn't get himself on the score sheet, but he really did make a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing, I'd suppose, a little bit more like the Grealish that you would have seen at Aston Villa, really, where he's taking players on. And he's got that confidence to take the player on, because he himself spoke last season, right at the end of the campaign, on the pitch at the Etihad, saying that, you know, Pep Guardiola had sort of been on at him, I think, for, you know, he didn't want him to lose possession in the areas that he sort of can do, because he's a risk taker. But I think to get the best out of Grealish, he needs a certain amount of license, really, to go and sort of create havoc. And, you know, if you're a dribbler, there will be occasions when you do lose the ball in situations where maybe it's sort of not favourable for Manchester City. But I think, a bit like with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Liverpool, the risk and reward sort of, you know, is there. And so I think City are a better team when Grealish is running at teams and sort of creating space for others while he's doing that. And, you know, he seems to have got himself into that sort of preferred starting 11 now, which is some going, because Riyad Mahrez sort of last season, I thought he was, you know, fantastic. So, it goes to show how good City are. Julian Alvarez coming on, scoring goals. So, there's a lot to like at Man City at the moment. Even defensively, I thought Akanji, when he played against United, was really good. And the 6-3 doesn't really do justice, does it, to the game, because United got a couple of goals, what, you know, in US sports they call garbage time, didn't really matter.
Yeah, true. And as you say, with City, it's frightening when you look at the strength and depth in their squad, with De Bruyne was even able to have a rest in midweek. Yeah. Let's move on to your boys, Tottenham. Mark, what did you make of the 0-0 draw with Frankfurt?
I thought they were overly criticised, and I saw people sort of talking about them being really boring and bits like that. I think the people that said that just hadn't watched the game, essentially, because Tottenham created more than enough chances to win the match. They just, you know, that front three is not quite firing at the moment, and if they're not on, you know, firing on all cylinders, then it doesn't quite work out, because the game plan is to defend well and then get Son, Kane, Richarlison scoring goals. I mean, usually they do that. They're very wasteful. Not necessarily with like shots on target. It was more like that final pass wasn't quite there. The only way I would criticise Antonio Conte was just in the fact I think he needs to rotate a little bit more. He's asking the same players to just keep on playing, and that doesn't make any sense, given the improvements Tottenham made to their squad over the summer. You've got to trust in some of these backup players. But, I mean, it's not a bad point. And, you know, I think they'll also look at their next two home games against Eintracht Frankfurt and Sporting as the opportunity to get to 10 points. And then that should be enough to qualify.
Finally, as well, just a quick word on the Battle of Britain that we had, which turned out to be pretty one-sided, to be honest. 2-0 to Liverpool over Rangers. And better from Jurgen Klopp's men. It was a much better performance. Slight tweak in formation and how they played, but hard to read too much into it because Rangers almost played into their hands.
Yeah, I agree totally. The gulf between the two teams was so vast. It was hard to know whether that move to 4-2-3-1 had had any real effect on the team, or whether Liverpool could have played any formation they wanted and they were just, you know, so superior to Rangers. I think that because it's sort of like, you know, it's Scotland v England, and, you know, Rangers are going to be massively up for it. Maybe people just overestimated what Rangers were capable of doing. If you have a look at the Wakefield of the two teams, I mean, 2-0 is about par really for that game. You know, Rangers have got a championship budget, and Liverpool are one of the best teams in Europe. So, not much of a surprise to me, really. And I think it's a little bit harsh to expect Rangers to do too much at Anfield in that type of fixture. It's just the quality difference is massive.
Well, that's what happened in another enthralling midweek of Champions League action. Next, we're going to turn our attentions to the Premier League this weekend, and it's the league leaders Arsenal at home to Liverpool. So the match of the day then, in terms of the weekend's Premier League action, is at 4:30 on Sunday. It's Arsenal against Liverpool at the Emirates. You're looking at around about 6-4 for Arsenal, 13-8 Liverpool, 13-5 the draw. Now, before we get into the game itself, Mark, we have to talk about Arsenal being potential title contenders. It is very early still in the season, but they are around about 9-1 at the minute. And as good as Manchester City are playing, Arsenal are still up at the top of the table. They're still looking impressive, as they did in the North London Derby last weekend. Can you make a case, as a Tottenham fan, for Arsenal to win the league this season?
I won't make the case as a Tottenham fan. I'll make it as a neutral pundit. They're a lot better. They've got a clear identity in terms of how they want to play. They're a young team, so you're never quite sure where kind of the limit of the potential is of a young team. And, quite often, people talk about lack of experience. Other people say, well, you play without fear. I mean, I just tend to think that, good players play well, whether they're young, 19 or 29, really. I don't think that overly matters. Obviously, Gabriel Jesus has added a whole new sort of dimension to the attack. Love what Saka does. Martinelli's a threat on the left-hand side. Odegaard's playing well at the moment. They've moved Xhaka further forward. And I think that that's helped the team, because he's making kind of fewer rash challenges in areas that kind of cost the side, and he's probably a better footballer than people gave him credit for initially. And he showed that, didn't he, when he played for Switzerland. It was always, well, how comes he does it for Switzerland but can't do it for Arsenal? We're starting to see sort of the Swiss Xhaka at the moment. I mean, I suppose don't...
to Mikel Arteta for that, don't we, Mark? I mean, that has to come from the manager, and the way that he, as you say, he's kind of moulded him into a different type of Arsenal player. Having Thomas Partey alongside him clearly helps, but Arteta has got the best out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Arteta's definitely made mistakes, as he would do. He's a young coach, and there were times when, I think sometimes he can be a little bit OTT on the touchline, and maybe the team gets a little bit kind of in that mould as well, and, just lost the plot a little bit at times when they were under pressure. But we'll have to wait and see whether that happens again. But definitely look a better team. So I suppose those are the positives in terms of, can they win it? And they've started the season really well. So another reason why maybe they can win it is the fact that Liverpool are not as good as we thought they'd be this season. The reasons why they can't win it, and I think can't maybe a bit strong, but the reasons why they are 9-1, and I don't think they'll win it. One is that the squad is thin. I mean, the drop-off from Jesus to Nketiah is absolutely massive. And I don't think there's any way of getting around that. And then Manchester City are the other reason why I don't think they'll win it. I mean, we just reeled off all the players they've got. Can Arsenal get to somewhere near 100 points? Because as Liverpool have shown in recent years, you need to be high, at least mid-90s, really pushing towards 100. And I'm not sure that any other team could get that in the Premier League, really. So a lot to be excited about. Obviously, the Emirates is jumping at the moment. They've got no European kind of high-level football. They're able to rotate in the Europa League. So that's another plus for them. But, they've got a lot of their hard away games still to come as well. One away game they did have, Warren, that was, a real high level, was Man United, and they lost.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I suppose we'll get more of an idea as to where they are after the weekend, because although Liverpool are down in ninth and clearly not playing as well as they have been for the last four or five seasons under Jurgen Klopp, you would expect them to raise their game for a game like this at the Emirates, and you would expect a better performance, certainly, than the one that they put in against Brighton last weekend.
Well, you would expect it, but I think we need to actually see it. I think quite a lot's gone wrong for Liverpool this season. I was going to ask you that, Warren. I know, you know, you're a Liverpool fan. You go to Anfield when you can. What do you think sort of been the biggest problem this season?
I genuinely will put it down to last season, a lot of it, Mark. I do think on all four fronts, battling the way that they were is a massive ask. And I think some of those players are really struggling from fatigue at the moment. And players that not necessarily had that type of long-running competitions before, of playing Premier League football week in, week out. I think the likes of Fabinho look like they're tired and sort of struggling a little bit this season. He's a key player. I'd go along the same with Alexander-Arnold and Van Dijk and potentially as well, even Mo Salah. I mean, for me, I was very surprised last week to see that Jurgen Klopp didn't start Luis Diaz in the game against Brighton. For me, he is the standout player for Liverpool at the moment, and I don't think they can afford to be without him in the starting 11. I think he has to play. Obviously, Darwin Nunez hasn't hit the ground running as Erling Haaland has, and that's probably a bit of a concern for Jurgen Klopp at the moment, shown by the fact that he kind of leaves him out of some of the bigger games and brings him into others. So there's a lot of questions still to be answered, but there have been some better signs in the last couple of weeks, and keeping Thiago fit, I think, is crucial.
Yeah, I just think the energy in midfield, like, was so important to what Liverpool sort of, and how they were successful, why they were able to defend, you know, on the halfway line or even in the opposition half, was because the midfield would go and press and sort of protect the defence. And that's just dropped off a little bit. And I think that that's made the defence more vulnerable. We've also got a piece going in the Racing Post on Friday that just going to have a little look at Alisson, as you know, he's still one of the world's best goalkeepers. I don't think anybody would question that. But his form has only been okay rather than, you know, world class. And, yeah, you know, the amount of times he used to save Liverpool in those one-on-one situations, and maybe it's not quite going for him either at the moment, might be another reason why. So I'm looking forward to the game. I think the facts... I'm struggling to get my head around the fact that Arsenal are favourites for it. It still feels like Liverpool, would expect to be favourites in basically every game they play, bar the ones against Man City. So, this will be a real indication, I think, of where both teams are at.
And it is a lot of questions to be answered, I think, on both counts. What's your best bet then for this clash, Mark, going into Sunday's game?
Yeah, so I think if you look at the sort of 90-minute prices, Liverpool were just over evens when they won at the Emirates in March. So it goes to show how much they've changed. They've gone from, you know, virtually even money to 13-8. It's about 12% difference, really, in chance. I can't quite work out this 90-minute market. It's 8-13, it's not a huge price, but I do think over 2.5 goals is the way to go in this one. Arsenal's last 8 home games in the Premier League all had over 2.5 goals. I think they'll stick to their principles, attack Liverpool, get some joy. I'm still not sure about them defensively. You know, they don't keep many clean sheets, Arsenal. And even against Tottenham, who didn't play particularly well, they had a lot of moments in that first half, Spurs, where the final ball was just off. And I think if you give Liverpool that amount of space, I think they'll probably take more advantage. So I think it'll be a really good game. Can't wait for it. Hopefully there'll be a lot of goals.
Yeah, it should be an absolute cracker at the Emirates. Up next, we'll go through the rest of the Premier League action. The time to look through the other Premier League fixtures then over the course of the weekend, starting off with the Saturday 3 p.m. games. And there's a big clash at arguably the bottom end of the table, you have to say, is Bournemouth take on Leicester. Big win for Leicester over Nottingham Forest. Just to slightly ease the pressure on Brendan Rodgers. But this could be a tricky trip to the South Coast, Mark.
I hope not. I'm going for Leicester to win. I think that result had been coming for them against Forest. I look at their team and think that they should be top half with the quality they've got in it. I mean, Bournemouth doing remarkably well, given their numbers are really bad. Lowest average possession in Europe's top league, sort of top five leagues. Only three teams in Europe's top five leagues have got a lower expected goal difference. They're best attacking numbers of any league game this season from an expected goals point of view, 0.9 when they got three goals at Nottingham Forest. So they're really kind of beating the numbers at the moment. I think you can only do that for so long. I like what Leicester have got going forward. Expect them to win the game.
Chelsea against Wolves. Before we get onto the game itself, Bruno Lage, of course, has been sacked following defeat last time out for Wolves. It was seemingly a matter of time, I think, the way that Wolves were struggling to find the back of the net and struggling to pick up points. Where do Wolves go from here? I mean, Lopetegui's been mentioned as a potential candidate for the Wolves board. It's going to need a big turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, Lopetegui did well for most of his time. I think at Sevilla, it's gone wrong more recently. I think he's better manager than Bruno Lage. So, you know, you'd say that maybe Wolves would be making the right decision. I found it very difficult to work out whether Bruno Lage was any good or not, because they did some things very well. And I like the way that they controlled midfield and defensively. You know, I think he's brought on, you know, Kilman, probably a better player now. I suppose it's hard to know. Would he have just developed into that player anyway, or was Lage part of that? You know, going forward, I felt like they just missed chances. And, you know, the problem was when Jimenez suffered that really serious head injury, I don't think he's ever come back as quite the same player. They brought in more new players quite late in the window. Never a great move, really, because it does take foreign players a little bit of time usually to adjust. They're not all Erling Haaland. But at the same time, they weren't winning games. They weren't scoring goals. And, you know, you are going to get the sack, I think, if that continues. So I don't think you can have too many complaints. But at the same time, I don't think it was, you know, absolutely 100% fully deserved. So a difficult one to weigh up, really.
Yeah, I mean, they find themselves in the bottom three at the moment, heading to Stamford Bridge against the Chelsea side who are, you know, hard to call at the moment. One week look good, next week struggle. How do you see this one going?
Chelsea to win and under 3.5 goals. I mean, we've already spoken about Wolves' sort of lack of potency. You know, Chelsea, I think, are a controlled team under Tuchel, and I think they're still a controlled team, really, under Potter, albeit with sort of slightly more possession. But when Wolves lose, it's not normally sort of a thrashing. Of their last 25 defeats, 23 of those at under 3.5 goals. And the two exceptions were late last season against Liverpool and Man City, when both were going for the title.
Up next, Manchester City against Southampton. I'm tempted to say how many for City on this occasion.
Yeah, I mean, like, correct score, dab at 4-0. Should be as easy as they want it to be. Not sure Southampton have got the attacking threat at the moment to cause that many problems on the counter-attack. Ralph Hasenhüttl looks like it could be his last game if he's given that long. One price I was just going to bring up was, just for anybody that was sort of interested, Haaland 15-8 to score first. He scored first in 5 of his 11 City appearances this season. I mean, it's not a price I would back, but I'm sure many people will.
Yeah. And last but not least, in terms of the 3 p.m. games on Saturday, St James's Park is the venue for Newcastle against Brentford. What do you think here, Mark?
Well, draw. Been 9 draws in the 16 games the two teams have played this season. Newcastle obviously really helped by that early red card against Fulham. I think we can probably just take that result out of the form book, really. Brentford probably not playing quite as well as they did last season, but I still think that they, you know, they're awkward opponents. Don't lose many, don't win that many either. And I wasn't massively excited about the Newcastle price.
Saturday's late game is Brighton against Tottenham. I thought Brighton looked impressive again at Anfield last weekend. Are Spurs capable of getting anything from this game, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're definitely capable, but I thought Brighton looked lively outsiders to me, at least on the draw, no bet. You know, Tottenham are not easy to beat, so yeah, that's why I'd probably go down the draw, no bet angle. But Brighton have won at Manchester United. They drew at Liverpool. They won at White Hart Lane last season as well. So they're more than capable of winning this game. I suppose the one bit I'd be slightly concerned from Brighton is that how much space they leave in behind, and that might actually suit what Tottenham are trying to do. But I think given they've had a, you know, really busy period Tottenham and you know, played again on Tuesday. Brighton have had a free week. Look really capable, I think, of winning this game.
Two really interesting games at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Let's start off with a game at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace against Leeds. What are you thinking here?
Going for the draw in this one. Palace drew 9 times in 18 games against bottom half clubs last season. They really struggled to sort of put teams away that maybe they were expected to beat. And I think that makes them slightly vulnerable favourites. You know, the 17th this season as well, with 3 draws in 7 games. I don't think anyone's sort of suggesting that Patrick Vieira's in trouble. They've had a difficult start in terms of the fixture list, but they're just not winning enough matches, you know, for me to consider backing them at the current prices. And Leeds battled well, I thought, with 10 men against Aston Villa, and can be difficult to play against with that sort of high press.
And the other 2 o'clock game sees West Ham against Fulham in a London derby. We thinking the Hammers are back on track now?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I didn't think they did anything in that game against Wolves until Scamacca scored, you know, absolute, you know, lovely goal. And then that they managed to, you know, beat what was, you know, I think sort of a team lacking confidence. It was quite a nice game for West Ham once they got that opening goal. I want to see a bit more before I'm backing them odds on to beat a Fulham team that I think has played well this season. And like I mentioned in the Newcastle bit, you know, when you have a player sent off that early, you know, you're almost certain to lose the game. And the final score doesn't really matter. I'm sort of looking at what Fulham have done over the whole season. Been really competitive in most of their matches. I'm going to go for Fulham or draw double chance, particularly with Paulinho back. I think he's a big player returning to that Fulham starting 11. And of course, West Ham are playing on Thursday in the Europa Conference, which is never ideal.
One other game on Sunday, which takes place on Sunday night. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff at Goodison Park. No love lost between Everton and Manchester United. Can Erik ten Hag's men bounce back after that mauling to City last week?
They can, but I wouldn't be backing them at the prices to do so. And sort of my Sunday is sort of going to be taking on a lot of the favourites. So Everton or draw double chance in this match. You know, United won't be able to play on the counter, which is where they've done most of their damage under Ten Hag. He kind of sacrificed his footballing principles to just try and get a few wins on the board. And, you know, it worked to some extent, but then they were well beaten, of course, by, you know, a brilliant Man City team. I think it's also worth remembering they did lose to Real Sociedad. It was the same night, wasn't it, that the Queen died. So it was just forgotten about, really. You know, just a game that will be lost to time. Yeah, I can't even remember what happened in it, but I just remembered they lost it. And you look at Everton, Frank Lampard really got a lot of stick at times, but, you know, they're 6 unbeaten in the league. They're competing really well at the moment. And I think that midfield 3, Idrissa Gueye, Onana and Iwobi have, you know, been holding their own against sort of, you know, some pretty decent teams. And I don't see Man United having this game easy at Goodison. You know, Sunday night game just doesn't feel like a great time to be going to Everton. So I'm going to go for Everton or draw a double chance.
And last but not least, on Monday evening, it's another Midlands derby. Last week, Forest thumped by Leicester. This week, they're at home to Aston Villa. I'm tempted to say I don't think there'll be as many goals in this, Mark, but how do you see it going?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like either team, really. I mean, Forest were awful against Leicester, but, I mean, Aston Villa have been bang average at best for most of this campaign themselves, really. So, I just went into the first goal scorer market. Philippe Coutinho, 15-2, first goal. He's not scored in the league this season. He's had 12 shots. Feels like a goal's come in. Was a little bit unlucky against Leeds. And what sort of pointed me towards this bet was just how difficult, you know, if you look at like Leicester and Maddison, how much space he got. You know, Coutinho from the other side, but plays a pretty similar kind of role, doesn't he? So, you know, Forrest just couldn't close that space between the midfield and defence. And if you do that against Coutinho, much like Maddison, you know, he'll be shooting from edge of the box and, you know, at 15-2 in what I don't think is a great betting heat. That was the one that stood out to me.
That's Mark's thoughts then on the Premier League action at the weekend. Up next, James Milton will discuss the EFL.
Dan Charles is having a well-earned day off this week. So we've got James Milton to come in and be his EFL replacement. Hoping you can sort of get off to a good start like Slaven Bilic did last week, Milts, when he masterminded that 4-0 win for Watford at Stoke. We'll start with the managerial merry-go-round, to use that cliche, in the Championship. Chris Wilder got the boot earlier this week. Sounds like Steve Bruce is on the brink as well at West Brom. Was you surprised about Wilder's departure?
Yeah, I mean, you're quite right. It's all happening in the Championship. And you mentioned Bilic's victory. Hopefully that'll earn him another couple of weeks in the job there. But I think Wilder's an interesting one. I mean, you know, you look at his pedigree. He's got done terrific jobs, and I just feel that Middlesbrough may have made that decision a little bit too early. I think there's a chance for him to turn things around there. Having said that, I think the Steve Bruce situation is slightly different. And that, you know, he's such an exposed sort as a manager, to use a racing term. And you know, ever since he arrived at the Hawthorns, no real signs of progress. They look to have made some good signings over the summer, but results have been really, really poor. And obviously that 1-0 defeat at Preston looks to be the last act for Bruce at the Hawthorns.
Roy Keane was in the stands, wasn't he, at Deepdale? I don't know if they're be looking at Keane to come in. I mean, Slaven Bilic might get sacked himself after he lost his second game against Swansea. I suppose with Chris Wilder, I know the Middlesbrough fans had kind of turned on him. I mean, he made some really odd team selection choices in recent weeks. I think he's just somebody that, yeah, he's so passionate, and you know, when he's on a run, I think that works well. But I think he can kind of get himself into a bit of a slump as well when things are not going quite so smoothly. Middlesbrough has just been one of them clubs, really, where everyone that's gone in there just hasn't been able to turn it around. They've had good managers, haven't they? But nobody's been able to turn it around. In terms of your best bets this week, how many have you got for us?
Yeah, I'm actually going to start with West Brom's home game against Luton. Obviously, a slight leap of faith in that we're not entirely sure who'll be in charge of the Baggies. But whatever happens, I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I mean, their last four home matches have all been high-scoring affairs. A couple of 3-2 defeats. They beat Hull 5-2 as well. And I think both teams to score looks a good bet here. I mean, Luton had an incredible 3-3 draw with Huddersfield in midweek. I think Luton racked up something like 24 shots to Huddersfield's 3, so they'll be scratching their heads about how they didn't win that game. But I think, you know, the state West Brom are in, Luton will certainly be positive in their approach, and I'm expecting an entertaining game there. And my other bet of the weekend is down in League One. Barnsley to beat Exeter. We've already spoken about managerial changes, and obviously Exeter lost their manager Matt Taylor this week to Rotherham. They actually made a really good start to the season, hence why Taylor was in demand. I think this is a really tough fixture for them after his departure. Barnsley found their feet in League One in some style. They had an away draw at title favourites Ipswich, and since then they've picked up 4 wins in 5 games. So I like the look of Barnsley to beat Exeter.
Okay, so we've gone for Barnsley to beat Exeter and both teams to score at the Hawthorns. West Brom against Luton. Thanks very much, James.
No problem.
So then, Mark, your best bets then for the weekend. Let's start off with the player prop shop.
Yeah, so Kvaratskhelia, not an easy one to put down on your betting shop. Coupons, if you're having to write out on a betting slip, a little bit easier online. So, I mean, the few different nicknames, the Georgian, yeah. Messi, I've heard of Cavadonna, that he's been nicknamed. I mean, he's playing just brilliantly at the moment for Napoli. He's 13-2 to score first. I think it's It's a nice each way play, this one. So there should be a lot of goals. He's had 20 shots. He's had 10 on target. Only Immobile has had more shots on target in Serie A than the Georgian wizard. He scored in his last two games for Napoli. He scored in his last two games for Georgia as well. I think Cremonese will really struggle to deal with him.
I think he's quality. I've seen him a few occasions this season. I've also heard him described as the new Georgie Kinclancy for Premier League fans out there as well. So he's
a lovely player.
And what about the Langdon long shot then this weekend?
Sticking in Italy, Sassuolo to beat Inter. Four defeats in six in Serie A for Inter. Look, ropey odds on shots. Quick turnaround from the Barcelona game, which they won 1-0. Didn't deserve to win, in my opinion. I think their XG was about 0.2, so created very little. I still can't quite work out how come Barcelona didn't get a penalty in that game for the most obvious handball you'll ever see. Just look a bit dodgy at the moment, Inter. And Sassuolo are going okay, lost a lot of players in the summer, but at 7-2, I think they're a fair price.
Yeah, Sassuolo won last weekend. Inter beaten at home by Roma. Time for the top treble, Mark. Where are we going here?
Yeah, so Leicester to beat Bournemouth. Leicester have been away to four of the top five already this season. So I think that has definitely played a part in why they're so far down at the table. The fact they couldn't defend set pieces was another one. But I think Fass coming in definitely improves them defensively. I actually thought they lost 6-2 to Tottenham, and that was a really harsh scoreline on them. The run gets easier now, in theory at least, and hopefully, you know, that Forest win can kick-start them into action. I want them to finish in the top half, so got to be expecting them to beat Bournemouth, I think. Napoli to beat winless Cremonese, already mentioned, really, the sort of those attacking threats in the Napoli team. They're just scoring a lot of goals. I mean, to absolutely destroy Ajax the way they did in midweek, it's a sign of a good team. And I know that there's a few kind of shrewdies that are back Napoli at really big prices to win the Champions League. I don't think they will, but you know, you're obviously getting a good run for your money at the moment. And then I'm going to round it off with Arsenal v Liverpool to have over 2.5 goals.
So that's Mark's top treble, and we'll round off Mark's tips for this weekend with the nap.
Yeah, so I'm going for over 2.5 goals in Arsenal versus Liverpool. March the 13th, last time that Arsenal kept a home clean sheet in the Premier League. But I'm not sure, even if Liverpool score, if they're going to do enough to win this game, because defensively, don't think Alisson's playing quite up to the level. Van Dijk definitely isn't. They're not getting enough pressure on the ball in midfield, but they have got some real quality in the forward positions, as have Arsenal. So hoping that this kind of game will live up to the hype.
Yeah, let's hope so. And another cracking weekend ahead then to look forward to, not only, of course, in the Premier League, but across the EFL and Europe's top leagues as well. That's it from myself, Warren Ashurst, and Mark Langdon this weekend. Don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to Bets Club. We'll be back, of course, next week. And as ever, make sure you gamble responsibly, and make sure you join us next week for Mark Langdon's Bets Club.